We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy Suspicion with the Screen Guild Theater. But first, on the lighter side, let's head on down to the Jot 'em Down store with Lum and Abner. Lum and Abner was a leisurely quarter-hour stroll through the sticks. The old store first opened for business back in April of 1931. Lum was Lum Edwards, and Abner was Abner Peabody, Chester Lauk, and Norris Goff in real life. In July of 1931, Lum and Abner moved to Chicago as a summer replacement for the NBC variety program Gene and Glenn. The show switched to CBS for postum in 1938, running three times a week until 1940, and the stars dropped out of radio for a year to make movies. In 1941, Lum and Abner returned as a four-day-a-week blue feature for Alka-Seltzer. By the fall of 48, it had moved to CBS for Frigid Air as a half-hour Sunday situation comedy. The final run of 15-minute programs began on ABC in the early 1950s, and Lum and Abner broadcast its final show May 15th of 1953. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Lum and Abner with The Collection Agency from January of 1949. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bose, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Lum and Abner Show. A division of General Motors presents a brand new comedy show starring Lum and Abner.
Lum, you say you're going to start a what?
A collection agency.
What in the world is a collection agency?
Why, that's something that tracks you down no matter where you are, finds out how much money you've got no matter where you've hid it, and then takes most of it away from you.
Oh, I'm married to one of them.
No, Abner, a collection agency makes a regular business out of getting money out of you.
That's my woman, Elizabeth.
No, now look.
I'll be that woman has regular office hours for going through my pants pocket.
Yeah, but look.
All that woman thinks about is money. Always asks me for $1, $3, $5.
Well, what does she do with all that money?
I don't know. I'll never give her any.
Yeah, well, now here's how the collection agency works. We go around looking for bad debts, see?
No, we got enough of them without going around looking for them.
Well, these are other folks' bad debts.
Oh.
And we'll collect the money if they'll give us half.
Huh.
That way we can make enough to afford to have somebody collect our bad debts. And that way we can afford to start paying ourselves some wages. Then the first thing you know,
yeah,
we'll be in good enough shape to apply for unemployment insurance. Well, I, Granny's Abner, we're in business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at these handbills I had printed up. How do you like that name?
Trace 'em, chase 'em, and lace 'em collection agency.
Yeah, then take a gander at that slogan.
We got what it takes to take what you got.
Oh, I tell you, with all the unpaid bills in the world, we ought to get to be millionaires.
We will.
Well, thousandaires, anyway.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. I'm getting awful tired of being a little old nickel and dime heir.
Of course, now, don't expect miracles to happen. Don't expect to get rich overnight.
No.
Might take 4 or 5 days.
There's a catch to everything, ain't there?
But I think if we put our heads to it and... Wait, there comes Sister Simpson. Maybe she'll be our first customer.
I doubt if anybody ever got away from that boarding house or herd without paying their bill. She's got an eye like an eagle. Come to think of it, she looks like an eagle.
Mind out. Well, howdy, Sister Simpson.
Howdy, Lum. Howdy, Abner. How is your woman?
Oh, tolerably.
Say, we're in the collection business now, Sister Simpson. Is there any man that owes you money that you'd like us to track down for you?
Well, yes, I'd love for you to track down a man for me. And I don't care if he owes me any money or not.
I mean some outstanding bill.
Bill, George, Fred, I don't care what. You don't have to be particular outstanding, either.
No, I mean a bill like where they owe you money.
Oh, sure, you mean Bill Tatterson.
Who?
That low-down varmint stayed at the boarding house 6 weeks and never paid me one red cent.
Well, now, we're getting someplace. What'd this feller look like?
Tall, good-looking. Oh, my, he was good-looking.
Well, we don't care about that.
And eyes. He had the prettiest eyes I ever saw on anything outside of a bull moose.
Yeah, but look, Sister Simpson.
I still reflect how he used to put his big, strong arms around me every time he wanted to borrow another $5.
Yeah, well, look, just tell us where he's at, and I, Grannies, we'll get your money if we have to beat it out of him.
See here, Lum Edwards, if you lay one hand on him, I'll whop you to pieces.
Huh?
And after this, you just mind your own business, see?
Well... Abner, the feminine female mind is too hard for the human mind to figure out, you know it.
Yeah. If you think she was hard to figure out, look who's coming up there now. Ben Withers.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Well, we'll just tell him to leave. Tell him we're busy.
Fat lot of good that'll do. He never listens to nothing you say. No matter what you ask him, he just says, fine.
Hello.
Say, Ben, I hate to rush you out of here, but we're awful busy right now.
Right. Say, I wonder if you fellows could collect the $100 debt for me.
$100? Oh, well, set right down, Ben, old boy.
Yeah, proud to see you, old kid, old friend.
Yeah, who's the party you want us to collect this bill from?
Yes. And he lives in Mount 80.
Yeah, but what's his name?
Well... You'll make a good bill collector. You're so persistent.
Yeah, but what's this feller's name?
Fine.
Look, Ben, if you don't tell me his name, I'm going to whop you on.
I just told you. Harold W. Fine. F-E-I-N. Fine.
Oh, I see. Well, you reckon we'll have much trouble getting this $100 from Harold?
I would say yes. He's dead.
Law, maybe you better track this one down by yourself.
Track who down, Abner?
Fine.
Well, that won't be necessary. You see, his estate now owes me the money.
Oh, well, that's better. Now, who do we see about the estate?
Fine.
I thought you said he was dead.
Who?
Fine.
Well, I don't see why you're so happy over a thing like that. After all, Harold was a friend of mine.
Well, Ben, I never said he wasn't.
I lent Harold $100 so he could drop what he was doing and take up something more important.
What was he doing?
He was a bum.
I ought to have better sense than to ask this, but what did he take up?
Pinhead writing.
Huh?
Harold rented an office and spent the next 6 years of his life trying to learn how to write the Constitution of the United States on the head of a pin.
Couldn't afford writing paper, huh?
And finally, after thousands of failures, he succeeded in getting the whole Constitution and the amendments on the pinhead on February 15th, 1933.
Well, good for Harold.
And then on February 16th, Congress passed another amendment.
Oh, that poor Harold. Bless his heart. Bless his little heart.
Well, what did Harold do then, Ben?
Well, he took up skywriting. And that's when, well, it probably never would have happened if he hadn't been so conscientious.
Conscientious?
Yes, he stepped out of his plane to erase a word he misspoke.
That's a shame. Well, now you say the estate owes you the money. Who's in charge of that?
A popular Mount Ida club man, Derwood Zinkafoos.
I knowed we'd work back to the Zinkafoos somewhere.
All right, we'll go see Mr. Zinkafoos. Now, our fee, by the way, is half of what we collect.
Take whatever you want. I don't care, just so I get my $100.
Well, wait, Ben. The only way you can get back a full $100 is for you to pay us our $50 fee right now.
Yes. Well, that makes sense.
It does.
I'll go and try to dig up $50. That is, if I can remember where I buried it. Come on.
There, how do you like that, Abner? We've made $50 already.
Yeah, I believe I'll take my half and buy Elizabeth a fur mackinaw.
Now, wait, as long as we're going to have to travel around, we better go to the county seat and buy ourselves a used car.
A used car?
Yeah, and if we can't afford that, we'll get a new one. Oh. Come on, let's go.
Doggies, they sure got a lot of used car lots here at the county seat.
Yeah, but how do we pick out a good, reliable one?
Well, there's one, Giggling George Lyon over there. There's another, and that sign says, Honest Janssen, the Smiling Norwegian.
Yeah, this one over here don't sound bad. Honest Gonzalez, the Laughing Mexican. Yeah.
How about that next one, Madman Kalua Kalua, the Howling Hawaiian?
Wait a minute. I believe here's the one we want. Just Plain Bill, a sane, dishonest American with no sense of humor.
Hey, maybe that's him coming over here now, Lum, with the derby hat, the cane, and that diamond stick pin.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Put her there, mister. I'm just plain old Bill.
Well, howdy do. I'm just plain old Lum Edwards.
I'm just plain old.
Well, sir, man, I just am mighty plain proud to see you. What kind of a little old plain car can just plain Bill fix you up with?
Well, we'd like one that's...
Just plain cheap.
I see. Well, now, I have just the car for you. It's only a few $100.
Well, that's for us.
Over the list price. This car is 12 years old, but it was only driven by a dear, sweet little old lady. She drove the car 12 years and never had a wreck.
You mean she drove that wreck 12 years, never had a car.
Well, the only time she used it was to drive to church and back.
Is that all? Well, the speedometer shows over 90,000 miles. What church did she belong to?
The First Baptist Church of Nome, Alaska.
Well, I'm afraid that's a little out of our price range.
Well, take a look at this beauty, then. A late 1926 Essex. You know, I don't show this car to everybody.
You know, I don't blame you.
Why, this car still has the original paint.
Where?
On the dashboard. And it still has the original spark plugs, rings, and carburetor.
No.
Just look for yourself. They're all in a sack under the back seat. This little beauty is only $900.
$900? Is that delivered here?
Certainly it's delivered. It has to be. Can't run on his own power.
Well, I'm afraid that's still out of our price range.
Oh, wait. I have exactly what you want. You see this beauty over here? This is the very car that the president rode in during the inauguration parade.
The president rode in that?
Absolutely. And so did Mrs. McKinley.
Wonder if Miss Truman knows about that.
Well, how much is this little beauty?
$250.
$250 for that old thing?
Well, that includes extra wicks for the headlights.
Well, you're still a little high for us. To be right honest, all we got is $50 cash.
I see. Well, I'll tell you. Give me the $50 and sign a note for $100, and I'll see that you ride out of here in style.
Well, aye, grannies, that's fair enough. It's a deal. What car do we get?
Do you see that big shiny Cadillac over there?
Yeah.
Well, right behind it's a motor scooter with a sidecar.
Oh.
Take it, my friend, and happy journey.
Now, come on, Abner. Jump on the scooter. We got to get on our way to Mount Ida. What are you just standing there staring for?
Oh, I was just thinking, Lon. We ought to give ourselves some names like them used car dealers does. I could be Addle Abner, and you could be Looney Lum. And then we could put up a bunch of signs,
well,
you know.
Well, but, Dad, blame, there comes Mr. Niles. Reckon what he's doing at the county seat.
Well, let's get going. If he starts telling us about them fidget air products, we never will get out of here.
Well, looks like you're going someplace, Lum.
Yeah, a little business trip over to Mount Ida.
You going too, Mr. Peabody?
Addle Abner's the name.
Addle Abner?
Yeah.
When did that start?
Oh, that's just a crazy idea that Abner's got. He got carried away by them used car dealers, and now he wants us to do a lot of advertising, put up signs, and all that junk. Mount Ida Trust Building. Well, I'm pretty sure this is the place where Ben said Mr. Zinkafoos has his office.
But don't go so fast, Lon.
Well, I want to hurry up and collect that $100 he owes Ben. Abner, for pity's sake, straighten up.
Lon, I don't think I'll ever be able to straighten up again after riding all the way over here in that dad-blamed sidecar. Every time you hit a bump, I got a new set of teeth marks in my knees.
Stop complaining.
Facts is, it ain't even a sidecar. It's just a box. I don't see how the good humor man ever kept ice cream bars cold in that thing. I might not suffer.
Yeah, let's see now. I believe Ben said his office was number 14. Yeah, there it is. Durwood Zinkafoos, attorney at law.
Yeah, what does that say underneath there? Member of Bar Association and Mount Ida Pyramid Club.
Yeah, Ben said he was a club man, I know. Come on, let's go on in.
Yes? What do you gentlemen wish?
I wish I'd back home in Pine Ridge.
I beg your pardon?
We want to see Mr. Zinkafoos, please, Mom. Is he in or is he off, Summers?
Both.
Ah?
He's in, and as near as I can tell, he's a little off, too. Go in that door, but be quiet. He's on the phone discussing a divorce case.
Yes, Mom.
Well, yes. Yes, I agree with what you say about your husband, but even so, I don't advise that you get a divorce. But, honey, we've been married for 20 years. Well, all right, then. But let me handle the case so I can give you the business. Or because I need the business. I mean, I'll let it go. Goodbye. Well, how do you do?
Yeah, howdy. This here's my partner, Mr. Peabody.
Oh, yes. Accident case. What hit him, a truck?
No, you see.
Well, the shape he's in, we ought to be able to collect plenty.
Well, now, that's just what we want to do, collect $100.
$100? That's a mere bag of shells. Or nuts. Or care for a hazelnut?
No.
$100's nothing. I can get you $5,000. Now let's get all the details. What happened after he ran you up on the sidewalk?
Well, first he hit me.
Abner, now, you never done that. Don't get so carried away. Look, he weren't in no accident. He just got in that shape from a sidecar.
A sidecar? Oh, there's dynamite. Ought to stick to lemon coat. Let me make some notes now. You say you were hit by the sidecar in the side street, or sideswiped by the streetcar. Yeah, the conductor was necking. He was inebriated. Oh, he was swacked, was he? Well, you've got a good strong case there, Mr. Pearblossom.
Good for me.
Now, wait a minute. You've got this all mixed up, Mr. Zinkafoos. See, we're bill collectors.
Oh, that's a serious charge. I don't think I can get you out of that.
We don't want you to. We're just trying to collect $100 that the estate of Howard W. Fine owes Ben Withers.
Ben Withers? Oh, I know him well. Yeah, we were boyhood schools together. Or schoolboy stool pigeons together. We were in a reform school together. No, I mean that. Yes, I know him.
Well, Ben says you owe him the money and we want it right now, see?
See?
$100, yeah. Ben with... Oh, yes, I remember that now. A man named Orlo Wormley owed the estate $100, so I made arrangements with him to owe the money directly to Ben Withers. You can collect it from Mr. Wormley.
Good. Now, where do we find him?
Yeah, his house is just two blocks off the main street.
Good.
Of Fort Smith.
Fort Smith? Well, that's a good 100 miles from here.
Back to the sidecar.
Just a minute. That'll be $5.
$5? What per?
For legal fees. Legal flight. Eagle's feet. Chicken feet. Well, make it $2. That's all I ever get around here. Chicken.
Granny, Fort Smith's a bigger town than I thought it was, Abner. This must be the house here. Come on.
Oh, my back. I just know I broke every vertigo in my spinal column, Lump. And if they ain't broke, they're froze.
Well, I told you not to load that box with ice. You can't make no money selling ice cream bars.
I made 35 cents coming over here.
Yeah, from me. Forget that. We got work to do. Now, we ain't going to take no prittle-prattle off of this Orlo Wormley. We're going to get that $100 and get back to Pine Ridge.
I'll never live that long.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, how do you do, ma'am? Are you Ms. Orlo Wormley?
Who else would look like this?
Well, my name is Lum Eddard.
Oh, yes. And is this your little boy?
No, he's just been over that away from riding in a sidecar.
What does she look like, Lum?
Is Mr. Wormley at home?
Well, I'll tell you. The reason Orlo never got down to the parole board last week is because he's sick in bed.
Well, we ain't from the parole board.
Oh. It's okay, Orlo. You can get up. All right, come on in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sit down. What do you want to see Orlo about?
Well, we're from the Trace 'em, Chase 'em, and Lace 'em collection agency.
As you were, Orlo!
And we're here to collect a bill.
Oh, dear. I wonder if you couldn't wait just one more day.
No, ma'am. We want the money right now.
But it's taken every cent we've got with dear old Grandma in the hospital. She stabbed herself with a knitting needle making socks for the missionary group.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. And then Uncle Fred lost his janitor job over at the church.
Oh, what a pity.
And all he was doing was just taking up the collection. One night about 12.
Yeah, well, this bill is way overdue and we want it settled right now.
Well, just a minute. I better get Orlo.
Oh, that poor woman. That poor...
Oh, now, Abner, don't get swayed by that. She's just putting that on. That's just a trick to fool bill collectors.
It is.
Don't listen to that. Be firm. Be tough.
Yes, sir.
Be hard-hearted.
When she comes back, I'll kick her.
Don't need to do that. Besides, we're going to talk to Orlo now. It'll be a heap better talking to a man. None of that crying.
Can't wait. There he comes right now.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Wormley?
Oh, how do you do? I'm so happy to meet you.
We've got this bill here, and we...
Yeah, I know. I intended to pay that last week, but we've had nothing but trouble.
Oh.
Hardly enough to eat. Yesterday, I threw the dog a bone. Papa broke his hip raising him for it.
Oh, that is a shame.
Now, Abner, don't start that again. He surely had accident insurance.
Yes, but the policy lapsed 2 days ago, and I couldn't afford to renew it because my dear old mother had some trouble with some books she was making. She took every cent I had to bail her out.
That's the saddest thing I ever hear.
Abner, recollect, be firm.
How can I be firm when this
poor varmint. I just can't stand it no longer. I've got to set out, love.
Well, go ahead, but you'll have to sit fast because the finance company will be here any minute to take the furniture away.
Hey, Mom, let's get out of here. This feller's breaking my heart.
Here, Mr. Wormley, here's a couple of dollars. Maybe that'll sort her.
Oh, no, I hate to take it. Is this all you got?
Come on, Abner.
Well, wait a minute, Lum. How about the bill?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Wormley, Durwood Zinkafoo said he transferred $100 debt to you, so now you owe it to Ben Withers and we...
Ben Withers? Oh, well, shucks, I don't owe that no more. No, no. A man named William Calhoun owed me $100, so I just transferred the Ben Withers debt over to him.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah, you'll find him at the county seat.
But look.
Come on up. Back to the ice cream wagon. Just made it.
Come on, Abner.
Huh?
Come on. There's the name on the mailbox right there. William Calhoun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's see if he's home.
Mom, I just can't make it up, or I just plain flat can't make it.
Come on. Maybe you can sell Mr. Calhoun an ice cream bar.
I ate the last one 30 miles ago. And just my luck, the stick was good for a free bar, and I'm out of them.
Now, look, Abner, we ain't going to listen to a thing this feller says. I'm going to start talking the second that door opens and then...
Well, start talking. Go ahead right now. Start talking.
Mr. Calhoun, we're from the Trace 'em, Chase 'em...
Well, how's that plain little old scooter running?
Huh?
Well, I'll be just plain Bill.
Yes, sir. I'm mighty plain proud to see you again. And if anything's gone wrong with the scooter, just remember... The guarantee ran out yesterday.
Well, that ain't what we're here for. Mr. Orlo Wormley of Fort Smith said he transferred a $100 debt to you.
Well, yes, that's right, he did.
Well, we're collecting that bill, and we want it right now, see?
See.
All right, fine. Let's see now. I owe you $100, and you still owe me $100 on the scooter. So that makes us all square.
Well, now, wait a minute.
So long, and... Happy journey.
How do you like that? Here we travel over 300 miles in a mechanized ice cream freezer to find out who owes Ben Withers that $100. And I grannies, it's us.
Lom, in that case, we better just get out of the collection business.
Get out?
Why, sure. We ain't got a chance in the world of ever collecting that money from us.
Yeah. It looks like the only thing to do is turn it over to a good, reliable collection agency. Yeah, sure, Ben. We tracked down the party that owes you the money, all right.
Some deadbeats, no doubt.
No doubt about it.
But before we tell you who it is, Ben, would you consider settling for a $150 motor scooter?
With 20 pounds of ice in it?
Yes, that sounds highly.
All right. The scooter's out in back of the store. It's all yours, and happy journey.
From January of 1949, it's been Lum and Abner with the Collection Agency. In a moment, Screen Guild Theater with Suspicion, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The Screen Guild Theater was first heard for golf on CBS in January of 39. In all of radio, no program succeeded in wooing more top Hollywood stars in the same time span as this one. While the Lux Radio Theater was paying up to $5,000 per performance for its film stars, Screen Guild was a charity show donating all star fees to the Motion Picture Relief Fund. Because of its mission, virtually every star in Hollywood was anxious to appear on the Screen Guild Theater. The Screen Guild Theater always provided top Hollywood dramas to a consistently high level. Robert Taylor, Jeanette McDonald, Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney, Clark Gable, Eddie Cantor, Tyrone Power, Humphrey Bogart, Betty Davis, Jack Benny, and Joan Crawford were just a few of those who appeared in the first year alone. The program moved to NBC Thursdays in October of 1948. The last show in the format was June 29th of 1950. In September of 1950, a new 60-minute version began on ABC, which continued its run until May of 1951. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with the Screen Guild Theater and Suspicion from January of 1943. Another classic radio program from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, A Farewell to Arms. The starring players...
This is Gary Cooper.
This is Joan Fontaine.
And this is Pedro Quarterback.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in a radio adaptation of Ernest Hemingway's immortal story of the First World War, A Farewell to Arms. It stars Gary Cooper as Frederick, Joan Fontaine as Catherine, and Pedro de Cordoba as the priest. The Lady Esther, Screen Guild Players, in A Farewell to Arms.
Big guns going day after day. If you've ever heard the guns like that, I think that you will understand. I am a priest, not a judge. Even now, I cannot say that they were right or wrong. That boy...
Forget the war. Can't we forget the war for a while?
And that girl...
If the guns would stop, if they would only stop...
The boy Federico was an American volunteer, a lieutenant in our Italian ambulance corps. The girl Catherine was a nurse, one of those whom the English had sent to help our hospital behind the lines. That year, in 1917, we needed much help. The war was going badly for us. There at the hospital, we could hear the guns. And all week long, the ambulances came. All week long, they brought us what the guns had left. It was that week the American came in, straight from the blood and horror of the front, straight back from death, and all he asked...
What kind of a town is this? Any girls?
And so they met, that boy and that girl. And that evening, they sat outside in the garden, and the guns were pounding in their hearts.
Sort of nice out here.
Yes, it is, if only the guns would stop.
They won't. Might as well enjoy what we can.
Oh, I'm afraid that Ferguson won't approve.
Ferguson? Who's he?
It's a she. Fergie's my roommate. Half nurse, half mother hen.
Well, I guess we're even. Rinaldi won't approve either.
Major Rinaldi, the surgeon?
I'm bunking with him tonight. He says he's in love with you.
Major Rinaldi's in love with any girl who'll listen. You're American, aren't you?
Yeah.
Why are you driving an Italian ambulance?
Well, I was over here when the war broke out.
And you like the uniform?
I like the language.
You're very odd.
Oh, I don't know. What are you doing here?
Oh, I joined up in England. The boy I was engaged to had gone across.
Oh, where is he now?
He's dead. He was killed in the Somme.
Oh, too bad. Had you been engaged long?
8 years. We grew up together.
Why didn't you marry?
Oh, I don't know. If I had to do it all over again, I'd have married him. I didn't know then what war was like.
No. No one ever does.
I had an idea. Oh, a very silly idea. I thought he might come to the hospital where I was with a saber cut or a shoulder wound or something picturesque.
They don't make those wars picturesque anymore.
No, he didn't have a saber cut. They blew him to bits.
Well, I know you're brooding about the past. Like to take a walk?
Yes, let's. We started out to walk, and now we're not walking at all.
Don't you like it here?
Such an odd place to rest on a statue. Or should I say, almost inside of one. I've never sat under a bronze horse before.
It's nice and quiet here. It gives a fellow a chance to think.
What are you thinking about now?
About whiskey.
What about whiskey?
About how nice it is. You're pretty nice, too. Just about the nicest girl I've...
No, don't. Please.
One kiss, why not?
No, stop it. Stop it.
Hey.
Did I hurt you? I'm sorry.
No, you were quite right.
I'm dreadfully sorry, really.
Oh, I don't mind. You are very beautiful.
Oh, you don't need to say a lot of nonsense. I said I'm sorry. We do get along.
Yes, don't we?
You're sweet.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're a dear. If you don't mind, I'd be glad to kiss you now.
Rinaldi, have you seen Catherine anywhere?
Miss Barclay? No, I am sorry. I've not seen her.
I thought you were with her after dinner.
Oh, that was 2 hours ago, Miss Ferguson. In 2 hours, many things can happen.
That's what I've been thinking.
But it is not good a pretty girl should think. Better we go for a little walk, yes?
No, thanks. I'm worried enough right now about Catherine. I haven't time to worry about myself, too.
Frederick, the guns have stopped.
They'll start again. You're a grand girl, Catherine.
I'm a crazy girl.
Why?
Oh, just being here, letting you make love to me.
It's nice. And you're beautiful. Isn't that enough?
It's nice. I suppose it has to be enough for people who are living as we live out here.
Back home, I'd have courted you and sent you flowers. Out here?
Out here, you crowd it all into 1 hour.
Why not? Tomorrow morning, I go up to the front again, and if a shell got me or a stray bullet and you never saw me again...
Darling.
Besides, what's so fine in putting it off, dragging it out? Tomorrow I may be dead.
Oh, no, don't even say it. Dearest. Oh, dearest.
You're shivering. Cold?
No, it was a premonition. Hold me tight, darling. Please hold me tight. Tomorrow you'll be gone. Tomorrow you'll be gone.
Four kilometers already, Senor Tenente. Senor Tenente.
Hmm?
Tenente, you are far away this morning, eh? You are thinking, yes? Maybe you think of what we're going to find up there? That is not good, Tenente. You should be like me. I do not think about tomorrow. No, I only think about last night. The girls, the wine, the food, the...
Turn back, Piani.
Turn back?
You heard what I said. Turn back.
Si, Tenente. Manera. Ponelo. The Tenente says we are turning back.
In here, I'm on duty. It's against the rules.
I know, but I couldn't just walk off. Disappear, I mean, without seeing you. Without telling you what... Then... Well, you're right. You're all right, aren't you?
Yes, I'm all right. Oh, you won't be gone long.
No, just as long as the push keeps up. We're going to attack.
You be careful, won't you?
I won't get hit. Nobody gets hit in this ambulance business.
Wait, I've got something for you to take along. This locket. Take it with you. It's a St. Anthony. Here.
You're not Catholic, are you?
No, but they say as an Anthony is very useful. To guard you from harm.
I'll take care of him for you. Goodbye, Kath.
Oh, goodbye. Say, I'll come back to Catherine.
I'll come back to Catherine. I'll always come back.
That morning, I saw him drive away. And all that day, I heard the guns. She heard them, too. And sometimes I would see her hands close tight as if to squeeze that sound out of the world. 3 days of it. Then it was quiet again. And on the fourth day, they brought him in.
Major Rinaldi, you won't die. You wouldn't let him die.
Miss Barclay, this is my friend, my war brother.
Oh, promise me.
He will not die. The wounds are in the legs. When he is strong enough, I operate. And in a few months, he is as good like new, eh?
Oh, you're sure?
Only Rinaldi could be so sure. But he will need a very good nurse, I think, yes?
Oh, yes.
Miss Barclay, between us, we will make him well.
Federico, how do you feel tonight?
I feel fine, Father. I've been a lot stronger these last few days.
I brought you a few little things. Mosquito netting, the English papers, a bottle of vermouth. You like vermouth?
Mm-hmm. Now I won't have to bribe the porter tomorrow.
I believe the doctor prescribed castor oil.
Hey, hello, Kath. Come on in.
Oh, excuse me. I think I...
Oh, have... don't go yet, Father. It's still early. Oh, I've just come to take his pulse.
Maybe he should rest at the operation in the morning.
Oh, he's strong. He's got such a lovely temperature. It's always normal.
Maybe our children will have fine temperatures, too.
Our children will probably have beastly temperatures.
Father... I guess you know all about us now. We're in love.
I know. I could see it in your faces.
You approve, don't you, Father?
You spoke of children. That is the war. Without the war, you would live married in God's grace. Is it not so?
Sure, I guess so.
And you, my daughter?
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes, I suppose so.
Then it is only right now, while you are holding hands, Deus Israel conjugat vos, edipses sit vobiscum, et nunc domine, faceus plenius benedicit.
Father, alleluia, are you... Is that the marriage service? Of course you understand that army regulations prevent us from marrying. They send Catherine back home. And we're not Catholics, you know.
Frederick,
it's a crazy marriage.
At least I'm in white.
No orange blossoms.
I can smell them.
No organ music.
I can hear it plainly. Father.
It was a foolish notion, perhaps. I have not the right. Yet, it has made me happy to do this. Now, from my heart, I can say, I bless you in his name.
Thank you, Father.
Goodbye, and be happy, both of you. And Federico, get well soon. I do not have time to come visiting you so much. Good night, my children.
Frederick, he closed the door.
Leave it closed.
Darling, you've got to rest. Your operation is in the morning.
It's our wedding night.
Oh, darling. Darling, there isn't any me anymore. Only what you want.
You, sweet.
Don't I make a lovely wife?
Such a lovely wife.
Feel our hearts beat.
No wonder my heart beats. I'm mad about you, Kath. Mad about you.
Do you know what month this is?
Oh, I don't know, Kath. April? May?
It's the middle of June. 4 months have gone by.
All I know is I'm happy.
I can walk again. Rinaldi did a swell job on me, all right. I walked all the way to this cafe, didn't I? Must be half a mile, I guess.
Oh, you could have walked 5 miles if the cafe'd been that far. We'll have to think about getting back. Ferguson will be worried about me again.
Ferguson doesn't like me, does she?
Oh, it isn't that. She just likes me more.
Well, that's reasonable. You on duty tonight?
Oh, yes, but you won't care. You'll go right off to sleep.
You wait and see.
Darling, how many girls have you loved?
None.
How many, really?
None.
Well, how many of you have you known?
None.
You're lying to me.
Of course.
That's what I want you to do. Keep on lying. Are they pretty?
I've never known anyone.
That's right. But what were they like?
I don't know anything about it.
You're just mine, aren't you? You never belonged to anyone else. You never said you loved them, did you? Oh, you wouldn't. I knew you wouldn't. Oh, I love you, darling.
I made Frederico well.
What do you mean?
He is ordered back to the front with me.
Lady Esther has presented Act One of A Farewell to Arms, starring Joan Fontaine, Pedro de Cordoba, and Gary Cooper.
Now it had come, the time when Frederico must go back to the war, back to the pounding of the guns. It was raining that dreary day in 1917. Yes, even the heavens could cry, but not those two. They had taken a little room in a hotel, and they were being very brave.
It's a fine room, don't you think? A lovely room.
You're a grand girl, Kath.
Oh, I wish we could do something really sinful. Everything we do seems so innocent and right.
You're a fine, simple girl.
I am a simple girl. No one understood it except you. Listen.
It's only the rain.
I hate the rain. I'm afraid of the rain.
Afraid? Why?
Perhaps it's silly.
What? Tell me.
Sometimes I see me dead in the rain.
No.
Sometimes I see you dead in it.
Well, that's more likely.
Don't say that, darling.
I won't say anything. If you kiss me.
That is your train.
I'm afraid so.
I'll go with you.
No, please. I don't want you. Not at the station.
All right, darling.
I'm afraid I have to start. I hate to leave our fine house.
So do I. We never stay settled in a home very long, do we?
We will.
Oh, I'll have a fine home for you when you come back.
I'll be back right away.
Maybe you'll be hurt just a little in the foot.
Or the lobe of the ear.
No, I want your ears just the way they are. I want everything the way it is.
Don't, Kath. You mustn't. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes and count 10.
One. It's gone.
You would like to buy a ticket, Signora?
Yes, I'd like a ticket to Switzerland, please.
To where, Signora? To what town?
The nearest one to Italy.
That would be Brissago, Signora.
All right, to Brissago then.
I will write it out, Signora, in 2 seconds.
Catherine! Well, there you are.
Fergie, thank heaven. I was afraid you wouldn't come.
Do you mind telling me what it's all about?
Well, I'm going away. Well,
I knew that when you telephoned and asked me to bring this kit bag down. But where? Why?
Switzerland. To have a baby.
American. I always disliked him. Now when you need him, he goes away.
Oh, he doesn't know.
You
mean you didn't tell him? Oh, what good would it do? It would only worry him. He had to go away anyway.
Your ticket, Signora. The price is 8 lira.
Thank you. Here you are.
5 minutes on track one.
Catherine, are you sure you want to go? You'll be all alone.
No, I won't, Peggy. That's part of being in love.
But you are going to tell him?
Oh, of course. I'll write to him from Switzerland.
She wrote to him and told him what she had to tell.
Frederick, darling, I have a great surprise. I couldn't tell you when you left.
She wrote to him every day, letters of love.
Darling, oh, darling, I love you so.
Letters of hope.
We'll have a great time, the three of us.
Letters full of dreams and promises.
He'll look like you, I know he will. He'll have your crooked smile in your eyes. He'll grow tall and strong like you. Darling, darling, I can scarcely wait.
Yes, she wrote to him. But in the front lines, they received no mail. Sometimes no food, no supplies. The guns were loud again. In those weeks and months, a terror and a panic spread. And then our men were in retreat. At first, just a few, then by companies, then whole regiments, and Federico with the rest. One night, I heard someone at my door.
It's me, Father. Shut the door.
Federico, what are you doing here?
I might as well be here as anywhere else. The whole army's in retreat. Where is she, Father? Where is Catherine?
Did she not write to you?
I haven't had a letter since I left.
She's in Brissago now.
Brissago? What for?
She went away to have your child. After that, no one could have held him back. His uniform, his duty, they meant nothing to him anymore. Only one thought was in his mind, that he must go to her. And so he went, the only way he could, rowing himself across the lake to Switzerland. All night he rowed in the rain over 30 kilometers until his hands were raw and wet with blood. And by morning, he was there, at Brissago, at the hospital where they had taken her, sitting alone in the little waiting room.
Doctor, is she going to be all right?
It's too early. We had to operate. Are you the husband? You should have been here last night. She kept calling for you. She's very weak and she's lost a lot of blood. There was a baby born. It was a boy, but he was dead before you got here. You just wait here, and I'll call you when we need.
She won't die. People don't die in childbirth anymore.
But what if she should die?
She won't die. She's just having a bad time, that's all.
But what if she should die?
She can't die.
Yes, but what if she should die?
What reason is there for her to die? There's just a child to be born.
But what if she should die?
She won't die. She's all right.
It's raining out. What if she should die? Remember what you said about the rain.
She can't. She can't die. She can't.
Did you call?
No. No, I'm sorry. I didn't say anything, nurse.
You'd better come, sir. Quickly, please.
Thank you, doctor. Cat.
Darling, you're here. I knew you were coming. When they put me under the ether, I knew you were here.
You're going to be all right, Cat.
I'm going to die. I hate it.
No, no, you'll be all right. I know you will.
When my letters came back, I thought you were dead. I wanted to die, too. Now I don't.
Cat.
I'm not afraid. I only hate you. Oh, you won't do our things with any other girl or say the same things, will you?
Never.
I want you to have other girls, though.
I don't want them.
It's stopped raining, hasn't it?
Yes, darling.
I'm not afraid anymore. Open the window.
Of course. There were rumors in the town. An armistice.
Peace. Peace. No more guns. No more death.
Catherine!
Kath! Kath.
Oh, Kath.
Joan Fontaine, Gary Cooper, and Pedro de Córdoba for appearing with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players tonight. Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present High Sierra. It will star Ida Lupino and Humphrey Bogart. Be sure to listen. Gary Cooper can soon be seen in the Paramount Cecil B. DeMille Technicolor picture, The Story of Dr. Wassell. Joan Fontaine can soon be seen in the Paramount Technicolor picture, Frenchman's Creek. Miss Fontaine appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From January of 1943, it's been the Screen Guild Theater with Suspicion. That's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio,
preceding program copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.